This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
I just got the red carpet. We're wanting to get into a controversy.
We have a liftoff.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, old Dirty and old Luke and Psycho T, a.k.a. T-Mill, have the latest. And the latest is it is 5 o'clock fire, and we are here, and we are frantically watching this incredible comeback happening right now from North Carolina. March is happening. I have a bet, and I just threw this out to the fellas. I'm sitting here, and I said to both of them, down by 13, do I believe that Carolina will ever get this game? They were down by like 25.
Yeah.
Ever get this game to one possession. And they are now currently on an 11-0 run. Ole Miss has not scored, and we're moving to 6 minutes of the game. And by the way, they're down four. It should have happened. Finally, they
scored. Would have been two if they wouldn't have just missed that late.
They've just missed two times. They've just missed two times now. But now it's a six-point game. Ole Miss finally. That's a pretty good timeout from Hubert Davis. God, we're down to 2 minutes and 49 seconds. This game is getting down to it, boy. But Carolina, I'm in a frantic comeback in this game. 65-59 in the second half. This is a fun one. Boy, when you just watch the pressure start to self-destruct teams, as it was for Ole Miss, my man just came up here for a pick, and I made just laid the wood on the fella. And I mean, it's just like, come on, man, just set a pick. It's an offensive foul. Now we're going back the other way. So this is a good one going on right now. But as you said, it's been much of the same thus far from yesterday in terms of not getting a ton of madness. I think Baylor and Mississippi State were close. That was a three-point game. Mississippi State had a three, and had a pretty good look at it to maybe tie it, but they didn't. And then this latest one we just watched, Vanderbilt and St. Mary's was close. Vandy had a couple of shots at the end, but still, no, there hasn't been a signature moment. The signature moment has probably been McNeese and Drake winning, but it wasn't. Yeah. It's just the winning. It wasn't a moment. Haven't had a lot of madness thus far. No buzzer beater, no like last second tie, nothing, no overtime, none of that.
No, yeah, no noteworthy elements or games so far. Now, today's been a little bit better. We had only 3 1 possession games all of yesterday. Assuming this one stays in one possession, we'll have four today, so that's progress, but just not a lot of games. Vanderbilt was the only one that came down to the final possession. So far of the whole first round, if I recall correctly. So, you know, a lot of blowouts, a lot of teams just in control for most of the game. Double-digit victories, getting a little better here in this afternoon window, and hopefully it continues. But it's been a pretty lackluster first round, and quite frankly, the last couple of years, the first rounds have been pretty lame in March Madness.
And that's the those are the days. Those are the days you come out Thursday and Friday. Someone's texting, Ron, I haven't heard you talk about your Jayhawks. You're quiet now. No, we talked about it.
You just missed it, idiot.
I'm just happy. I'm happy it's over.
God, man. You can relax.
I don't have to watch them. I promise you. I finished off. I rewatched the last. Now, I'll be honest. I rewatched. As soon as they went zone is when I started to pick it up. And so I watched about the last 15 minutes of it. And at the end, when I watched them just be stupid, basketball-wise, repeatedly down the stretch. I mean, when you run yourself into about five or six turnovers in the final 4 minutes when you have a three-point lead, you deserve to do this, like you did. They've done it all year. I stopped it, and I deleted that and deleted the whole season. And I'm telling you, it was...
Dude said Control-Alt-Delete.
I will never watch... Like, and I'm a rewatcher of games. I will never watch a game from this last two seasons. I won't take it out of my mind because I'll remember this. Someone just texted in show, this is not a troll job. Do you think Bill Self has lost his fastball from preseason number one to out in the first round? Sure seems like it. Well, they were preseason number one last year, and they were out in the second round last year, and they got their ass beat so bad by Gonzaga, it wasn't even funny. I don't think he's lost his fastball. I just think he has to really adjust and figure out how he wants to handle the transfer portal. Because when you say fastball, he got the number one transfer in Hunter Dickinson. He got the number two transfer in A.J. Stewart last year and got some other really good transfers as well. So he has been able to get guys. He just hasn't gotten the right guys to fit his program. I do think he's got to look more in the way that Kelvin Sampson has done things with transfers. Kelvin Sampson has gotten transfers but really got guys that fit his culture and his program. LJ Cryer and Uzan really fit more of his culture than Hunter. Even if you gave him Hunter Dickinson, he would not touch him because that ain't what Kelvin's about. And so that's the part. I don't think he's lost his fastball. I think he just has to look at the talent and then look at the fit for them. And he acknowledged that afterward.
And look, like free agency has come to college basketball. And so a lot of these guys are almost like GMs for the first time. And it can be tough. You know, I'm a UConn fan. They missed out on Cooper Flagg. But then in the transfer portal, they went for the dude from St. Mary's, Mahaney, and let another guy go to Kentucky who's been much better this year, so they made the wrong call there, and that's had a big impact on their season. So you miss out on one recruit or you make one wrong decision in the transfer portal, and you know it can doom you for a whole season. It's free agency every year, and these guys are sometimes you just pick the wrong kid or the wrong fit, just like any professional team.
By the way, it looks like Carolina is not going to be able to get over the hump. It's still a 5-point game, but it looks like they're not going to be able to get over the hump. They can't. Yeah, it's. Oh, they're going to get that jump ball, though. All right, we'll keep you updated on what's happening with the tournament.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, the Rockets, the hottest team in the NBA, have an 8-game win streak right now. They had the night off after, I think, a pretty solid W they had against Orlando after a bit of a slow start. They're in Miami. They are expected to get Amen Thompson back, which...
I feel like Kobe.
Hey, it's excited to get him back. He has had that lower leg injury, and now they expect to get him back tonight as they face Tyler Hero. And remember the last time he faced Tyler Hero. Oh, they got a chance to cut it to three.
Turned into a ragdoll.
There he is. He has just got an and one right now and banged it. It is one possession.
Yeah.
They did it.
They did it.
Got a chance to get it to two.
109 left.
Yeah, with 109 left. But my concern, you know about that. You know about that Orlando-Miami trip for NBA players, Luke. About, especially when I talked about this a little bit yesterday, especially when you have that day off in between. What kind of fun you think them boys had last night? I'm telling you, I know Jalen went out there and had him a help. Only person I think didn't have a good time was Jeff Green. Jeff Green, I think, probably just chilled at the hotel. But everybody else, I bet they had themselves a ball in South Beach. Did their thing, and I hope they don't have that South Beach flu going into this game tonight against Miami. Because I know Fred went in there and had himself a good time. I know Jalen Green did. I know it. No chance in hell. So hopefully that is my only concern, because this is not the same Miami Heat team, and they should handle this team. And really, it's counting, man. Like the standings are coming together. They with this streak have risen to the 2 seed, and it is still tight between teams like them, teams like the Nuggets, the Lakers, the Grizzlies, still all in that kind of between a game and a half type of a distance between each other. So I do think being the 2 or the 3 seed is a big deal. One, obviously your matchup is better for you, and you get to avoid the Oklahoma City Thunder in that next round if you're able to make it past that. So hopefully that is something the Rockets can keep in there. But it'll be a fun one tonight in Miami as they take on the Heat.
Yeah, I'm with you in the concern. You know, the back-to-back road games have been tough for the Rockets. I was just looking at it. I think they've lost 6 of 7 when it's a second consecutive road game. So this is tough to begin with, let alone, the whole, you get an extra night in Miami. Team's been playing good. They're feeling themselves. You know, they want to go out and have a good time. You have Denver coming up at home if there's some sort of look-ahead spot. So from that perspective, a bit of a tricky spot. But all things equal, I mean, they're a much better team than the Heat. They should be able to take care of business tonight, and hopefully they do so. Tickets as low as $7, by the way, so it might not
get
be
them
much
in there
of
for $7, huh?
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah, they, hey, some people complain about Houston coming to games late, especially, where do you see Miami, boy? Miami, boy, like that thing, they come in so late, you can see the Heat thing that they have created with the chairs, the way they've colored the chairs to make the Heat symbol.
I remember when LeBron went to Miami, I remember learning about that, how it was like just this known thing in sports with the late arriving South Beach crowd.
It's I mean, playoff games, they late arriving during playoff games is what they do there. So be a fun one tonight. Amen Thompson, it'll be good to see him move around. I don't know if he'll be on a minutes restriction. That hasn't been talked about, but he's back in the lineup, and the most important thing here with him is to make sure he's healthy and get rolling. But take care of business and get these wins. By the way, a 2-point game there between North Carolina and Ole Miss.
Hey, Houston fans, I am so happy.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, the thing that we have seen the most movement tinkering with for the Texans is their offensive line. And they have done some more movement and tinkering with that offensive line. And they have added another tackle. After adding Cam Robinson the other day, what it would appear for him to play left tackle, they have added Trent Brown on a 1-year, $3 million deal. He started 3 games before he injured. He got injured last year, tore his patella tendon. He started 3 games with the Bengals, had some time with the Raiders, signed a big deal with them after his time with the Patriots, also with the 49ers as well. So a 9-year vet in Trent Brown. How do you make of this deal? What are you excited about Trent Brown? I will just say, people, I believe Luke said, I don't mean to put words in Luke's mouth, I believe earlier today Luke said he believes Trent Brown is actually a better tackle than Cam Robinson, who they've brought in to play left tackle. So when I hear that, I am really intrigued by your thoughts of this signing.
Well, I do think the signing is a depth move, or potentially for him to come in and compete. I mean, just look at the contracts. They're paying Cam Robinson almost 5 times as much.
Yeah.
I imagine he'll be the starter. But I do believe Trent Brown, if both guys are healthy, which that's been the problem with Trent Brown. He played 3 games last year. He's only had 1 full season, I think, in the last 6, something along those lines. But if both guys are healthy, I do think he is the better tackle. In another life, I was a Vikings fan. I watched every Cam Robinson snap for the second half of last season. He allowed the most pressures in the league for any tackle last year. He's bottom 15 for tackles last year in sacks allowed and penalties against him. Jaguars let him go for a reason.
All right, so you've watched a lot of him, and you're down on Cam Robinson. Like, I know you've given out some stats, but when you watch him, what are the struggles? What concerns you for him coming here as what it looks like to be the left tackle?
For Cam, I mean, I just...
Like, when you watch him, what are the struggles you're seeing?
He just seems a step slow.
Well...
Like I said, he gave up more pressures than anybody in the league last year for any offensive lineman. So he was just getting consistently beat and pushed back. You know, the Jaguars, the reason why he became available in part was the speculation was he was in a contract year last year. Jaguars weren't planning on re-signing him. So the thought was he kind of threw in the towel. Jags weren't doing very well. He was going to be gone. And so they thought, like, oh, send him to a contender. This will revitalize him. And he was just as bad, if not worse, in Minnesota. He's just... I would say not the same guy, I guess. You know, getting pushed back a lot, getting beat off the jump a lot, allowing too many pressures. And so, not impressed with him whatsoever. Trent Brown, on the other hand, look, injuries were the big thing. But I would tell you, 2 years ago when he was with the Patriots, and again, more numbers, more stats, but it's kind of hard to differentiate offensive linemen. He was left alone the most times, based off of a percentage, in the NFL 2 years ago for a tackle. And he allowed the second fewest pressures. When healthy, I think he is the far superior tackle.
Far superior.
Yes, Cam Robinson. Health is obviously the question. He's only been healthy once about the last 6 years.
What's that face, Ron?
Like, he didn't just say, man, I like him better. He's the far superior lineman. Listen, I think Trent Brown, we'll see. We'll see. I think Trent Brown, who obviously has a relationship and a history with not just Nick Caserio, but all of the Patriot Knicks, Nick Cayley as well, and the offense, Cole Popovich, spent some time there as well. So he's got a relationship. I'm judging by him and what he has done over his career and what they're paying him, as you said as well. If this is more than a depth play, I'm surprised. This feels like more of a, hey, let's bring him in, let's hit him in camp, let's see what it is that he brings to the table, and maybe he can help us as a swing tackle or something. What I am surprised with is that the position they decided to go with was tackle. They've got Trent Brown, Blake Fisher, Titus Howard. Maybe this is a clear play that he is a guard. And obviously Cam, they have a plethora of tackles. So that is an interesting decision there. But that's where they're going. So we'll look at it there. So Trent Brown, the latest member of that offensive line room for your Houston Texans. Coming up, it's already started for this young man. I think this could be the game changer for the NBA if they can get this cat to have a huge next 2 weeks. We'll discuss that next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
I wonder how many people try to go after that Grand Canyon again like they did last year.
I know I didn't.
I didn't either. Maryland is I really like Maryland. They are beating the hell out of them, by the way. It's
ugly.
64-41 here. Don't think this one is going to be the tight one. And Maryland's just out here playing around. This cat just threw an alley-oop pass, and his coach, who I believe is going to call a timeout to go cuss somebody out, just literally stood there with his hands just out wide. Like, what the hell was that? Just threw one off the side of the backboard. It's been a better games day thus far than yesterday, but still not a lot of the madness that one usually looks for. And I think the biggest story of today was Cooper Flagg thus far, to see if he would be able to go. Be able to play, how he would look. He had that really bad injury, that ankle injury in the ACC Championship tournament which made him miss the last two games, even though Duke was able to go hold on to win. He looked pretty good today as Duke beat the hell out of Mount St. Mary, I believe that's who it was. They beat the hell out of them, looked good, had a pretty good night, and was in double figures, had a pretty good all-around game in limited action because it was limited for everybody because it just wasn't close. But I think it's a bigger thing for me with him because I think the NBA has a real chance to really gain something if Cooper Flagg, in his 1 year, in his one tournament, over the next 2 weeks, kind of becomes the story of the tournament, becomes the guy that creates maybe some interest in fans. Because the NBA has always been a league about stars, right? And yes, in some cities, it's teams. Boston, Celtics, whatever, here, Rockets fans. But this is a league about creating stars and interest. And people outside of even their own cities are intrigued to watch some of the bigger stars. And I think a big thing for the NBA is if Cooper Flagg could be the star of this tournament and carry himself and have people create an interest around him as they move on to the draft into next year. And I would say in a similar way that Caitlin Clark did a couple of years ago, not last year, but the first year she really bursted onto the scene when they beat South Carolina in the Final Four and she really became a big thing. If I don't know if he can get to that level because that was just so organic and things that fit together with the scenario of the foil being South Carolina and LSU and then ultimately Angel Reese made that a really big thing. But my question, Luke, and you followed this, is it impossible for Cooper Flagg to gain that kind of fandom because he plays for Duke?
I don't think it's impossible. It hurts. The Duke thing doesn't help. But I think someone, a listener, brought up a good point earlier about Zion Williamson. And if Zion could stay healthy in the NBA, I mean, maybe he'd be on that same level or trajectory. Yep. And he was a guy that obviously came out of Duke, or even when he was at Duke, seemed very likable. So it's not impossible. There's been very few. Zion might truly be the only one that was likable coming out of Duke, you know, before they even got to the NBA. But, yeah, it doesn't help. Not impossible, doesn't help. So I think the Duke thing hurts. We were talking about this earlier. I think the need for a rival would certainly help Cooper Flagg. And then the other thing I thought of, too, is, honestly, I think his mom kind of hurts, too. She's like such an obnoxious sports mom.
I don't know that I know anything about Cooper's mom.
Really? She even put out some trash talk to like UNC fans after they won. She played basketball herself.
What'd she look like?
I believe she's a taller woman because she played college basketball, had a great career. I think she's even coached. Obviously, he has the size, so you know, I think it comes from both parents. And she's right behind the bench. She's yelling into the huddle during timeout.
Like, she's into that. I don't know how I've missed this.
If I'm John Shire, I would be so tired. But you know, he's the star. You got to be nice.
Yeah, you got to deal with it.
She's trying to coach from behind the bench. She's trash talking UNC fans. You know, I remember Eli Apple certainly was not the player, Cooper Flagg, but his mother was very much of those sports moms. Yep. And
I like a saucy mama.
Going into the draft, people were talking about that and like, kind of downgrading it. I don't like that aspect either. So I think that's another thing that might rub people the wrong way.
Can you be the type of star that I'm talking about that really gets people to create interest to follow him? Can you be that type of star? I'm posing it to everybody here. Can you be that type of star as the favorite or the dominant one? Right? Because I think a big thing with Caitlin is, man, South Carolina is, I believe they were the defending champions. They're undefeated. We've known, like, those who watched basketball at that time, I think Leah Boston was there. This was a South Carolina team and Don Staley that had it rolling. They had not lost. And she became the obvious underdog and won. And that was a big thing. And it felt like she almost won single-handedly. she was the dominant player and then went on and couldn't quite carry her past that very, very talented LSU team, despite all the other stuff. I think a big part of that was she was the underdog, and America loves a good underdog. And you talked about rival. I just don't think there is any manner that Duke or Cooper Flag can ever be viewed as an underdog. And that's what it is like. Can he just be, like Zion, I guess they weren't an underdog. Can he be a big enough, like, star that you're interested to see him through this thing over the next couple of weeks? And I do think a big thing will be how CBS and Turner pushes him. We've already seen him in a bingo commercial. That's a good start. But, hell, if I'm the NBA, hell, I'd be in there pushing it. I'd be doing stuff to do it. That's the part is, can people find themselves falling in love with him and hoping he wins, even though he is the favorite and it's Duke, and many people have grown up just hating Duke?
It makes it very hard. It doesn't happen very often, even without the Duke factor. Then you combine the two. You know, we used to kind of prefer or like favorites. Obviously, you go back to like Jordan and the Bulls of the 90s, and now we've taken a turn here in the modern century where it's always about the underdogs. You get tired of the Patriots and now even the Chiefs and Mahomes and LeBron and all these other. And that's what March Madness is always about, the underdogs.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's hard. And then you factor in the Duke aspect. He has the two things working against him where not only are they the favorites, but also the favorites on Duke. But you look back, like Seth Curry, obviously, or Steph Curry, I should say. Forget Seth.
But Davidson, he was the underdog.
Yeah. You know, all these guys.
Yep.
Even like Kemba Walker made a big name for himself in March Madness when UConn won it all, but they were not the favorites. Nope. They were underdogs that year.
And it did appear he was doing it, like he was overcoming a lot.
Right. So that's usually the way it goes.
Like if he could get like, I don't want to wish that upon anybody. He's got to get some. I ain't gonna wish that upon I just don't think that's the hard. That's the big part about it. The Duke thing, and there's just never, ever, ever going to be a space in which you feel like, man, Cooper Flagg's got to overcome. Like he's got to overcome. Like even Florida, I think Florida is a better team.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
But I don't think people will view that. I think people will view it's Duke. Hell, they came into the damn thing as a favorite. I think people will view it as Duke. Someone said, I don't think Grant Hill was hated all that much. Yeah, Grant is one of the few, second time I've already seen. Look at this, Cooper right here. Second time I've seen it. I don't think Grant was. But in this thing, I think it's hard. They got to get more stuff like this. They got to run these things out. Get him out here. I wish there was a real a-hole in college basketball that we knew. He's in Draymond back.
He's
Calipari.
I was going to say, he's coaching against St. John's this weekend. Well, they're kind of coaching against each other, those two coaches.
That man that gets out of that coffin versus the a-hole Calipari. No, I don't. I gotta look at that region to see if there is anybody in there.
And they got a pretty weak region too.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll give you the latest here on the Rockets confirmation on the Amen Thompson situation. He was listed as a game time decision. We'll give you the latest on that. And listen, I'm gonna let you guys. There's some of you maybe a little nervous. I'm going to let you know you ain't got nothing to worry about tomorrow, many of you Coug fans. We'll discuss a little bit of that. T-Mill's best bet, see if you can win some money going into.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For the weekend, that's next.
Hughley has came in the game.
Live from the Mokarum Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Welcome back in to The Drive, a fun Friday. Clint was out today, but Luke has been in the building holding it down, and we've had a good time as usual. You learn a lot of things the more you work with folks, and the thing that I've learned is, you know, Tyler, the disdain for Sheldon Cooper from from Luke, and I don't know, I wonder if the hatred also even slides to a Houston icon and Jim Parsons, who played the role of the older Sheldon. But I mean, that came out. You brought up, I mean, who gives that guy two series? Like, I mean,
I was with him, though. I never liked either one of them shows. Thought they were stupid.
I mean, they weren't down my, I have not, I don't, my son watched Young Sheldon.
My wife was a big Bang Theory fan.
It just, I've never tried it. And I know he won Jim, or I'm sorry, don't mean to bring up Sheldon Cooper, but Sheldon Cooper, that
yeah.
character, Jim, mm. won a ton of Emmys for
yeah.
for Best Actor in a comedic series, but it never seemed to really catch my attention. Like, just what I felt like the premise was about. Like, it's smart guys, right?
Yeah.
And
it's a bunch of nerds, yeah.
And then one of them was in a relationship with an attractive.
Yeah.
Kelly Coco.
From Eight Simple Rules.
That's right. Johnny Galecki was with her.
Yes.
It's the character, though, in particular. I don't know how you could watch Big Bang. I wasn't really a fan of the show. And see Sheldon and think, this guy should have his own, should have another. That character, it was so
we need to see intolerable. The early age. They got 12 seasons out of Big Bang Theory?
Oh, yeah. I didn't know the number, but I knew it was a lot.
12?
Yeah.
It's the worst character.
That's too long for any series.
Well, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia is going on like year 17.
They're not even. I mean, well, and Grey's Anatomy is like at 25. Yeah. Ridiculous. But like you, I mean, you're running out of story to tell. 12 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's aggressive. But no, that was never one I got in. But that character.
Worst character along with Frasier to get a second
Stop.
Show.
Son of a. No, don't. Nah, man, you ain't gonna do that on Frasier Crane. Frasier Crane?
To say something that's gonna upset you.
That spinoff, that's one of the greatest spinoffs of all time.
I've never seen Frasier.
That's not gonna upset me.
I've heard it's great, and a lot of my friends tell me about it, but I've never seen it.
Frasier is so much better than it was on Cheers, and it's a great
day. I never got into Frasier. So boring to me. I never got it.
Oh,
not man. Like it. And I put Chachi up there, too.
Joni loves Chachi.
Exactly. Yep. Terrible characters to get a second show.
Frasier, that what was we perfect. Doing? He was the perfect. What'd you think Norm should have got the spinoff? Who do you think should have got the spinoff on Cheers?
Norm probably would have been more entertaining.
No, man. Frasier was great. I like Frasier.
Why didn't it need a spinoff? It goes back to your 12-season idea. Why can't we just let things be? Why do we always need in excess?
Well, some of them work. Like, some work. Like, all the spinoffs off All in the Family, like they work. You know, Mod, that works. Mod, then Birth, Good Times, that works. The Jeffersons, the spinoff, I'm into this thing. Like, they work.
Joey did not.
Joey did not.
No.
That did not. No, there are some bad ones.
And I like Joey, but there's another some ridiculous bad ones. Character to get a second show.
There are some. That one, I agree with you. Of all people, that would not have what I would have played.
Cleveland from Family Guy?
That worked.
He needed his own show?
I never saw the Cleveland show.
Of all the characters?
I haven't seen the Paperboy.
Yeah, I'd rather he would be more interesting to have a spinoff.
Hey, Chris.
Yeah, there's some bad ones. I'm like, listen, Young Sheldon, I mean, if...
By the way, Jim Parsons, Houstonian.
You think so he's not listening to
Sheldon. Yeah, glad the producer listens.
Did y'all mention it?
Yep.
Now let it be. Yeah, you never do that.
Oh, I don't.
Never. Did it yesterday to Clint three times.
I did not. Did not. I did not. Not true. Not true at all. But yeah, Houstonian, Jim Parsons. He is a huge Houston legend right there. Cannot believe you just shot him down like that.
Good actor. He played the character really well.
Like, are you just picking spinoffs that have been wildly successful and saying like that you hate them? Like Better Call Saul. Do you think there was no need for that spinoff?
Probably not, but I never watched it.
Another one I haven't seen, but a lot of success.
Like, I love Odenkirk. God,
like, good Lord. Like, yeah, man. Like, there should, like, Golden Girls, I would love to continue the story with Branch.
Never seen Golden Girls.
I'm with you there.
With Blanche Devereaux. I would have loved to see where she was going to whore herself through the rest of her 70s. That would have been a good one.
Yeah, I'm with you.
The old whore?
But instead, they did one. They did the Golden Palace.
I've never heard of that.
When they followed, it was more built around Sophia.
Huh.
Yeah, it wasn't.
I had no idea.
It wasn't great, yeah. Now, if you could tell me another new story, it's cool. Like Frasier, completely different story. Great one.
Yeah, but it just a story that didn't need to be told.
Sure it did. It did. Coming up behind us, people who can appreciate a good spinoff, the Fellas, Texans All Access, Mark Vandermeer, John Harris. If you missed it, yesterday, hey, they had a good conversation with... with our guy Wade Smith. So if you miss that, you don't want to miss them each and every night. They do a lot of good things. And then tonight, in honor of March Madness happening, and Grand Canyon is not getting any better, in honor of March Madness happening, they will do some Texans themed brackets for you guys. So make sure you listen. Yes, A Different World, another great one off the Cosby Show. Solid one. When they got rid of Marissa Tomei, they really got that thing into the right direction. It's a tough one to get rid of. But when they got rid of her, she was holding that sentence down very often. Well, I mean, they felt like they were trying to force, they had to feel like they had to have a white character in it.
Mm-hmm.
And they tried to force Marissa Tomei, and then they finally just said, well, let's just do our thing. And it worked. Worked for them. March Madness will follow, continue, courtesy of Westwood One, will follow the Fellas on... from Texans All Access. So you got that till 7, and then you can watch or listen to the rest of that coverage moving forward. So that'll be fun tonight. So stay tuned for that. T-Mills Best Bets coming up here in just a bit. And I want to say this. Tomorrow, many of you, you Houston Cougar fans, there's some nerves here because Gonzaga, they beat the hell out of Georgia. And that's on Georgia. Georgia just can't. I mean, you can't get down 27-3, whatever that was, they got down. And Gonzaga played their hearts out. I'm telling you right now, in my opinion, Houston is going to suffocate the hell out of them.
Go Cougs!
U of H, I think it's going to be comfortable. I don't think Gonzaga is ready for that constant pressure. And now Kelvin Sampson, who probably was in his bed kicking and screaming up and down in excitement. If you don't remember what Isaiah Thomas did in Detroit when he was on the ground kicking his legs in the air after he scored a basket in the playoffs, that's what I think Kelvin Sampson was doing in his bed because everyone's been talking up Gonzaga and he ain't got too much motivation to have to do. Look what they're saying. They're going to get you. And I think they're going to be a real problem for Houston. Houston, the way they defend and suffocate you, they just don't let you get nothing. And I think they're going to be alerted and motivated to proving a point and shutting them down. So I think you got nothing to worry about, U of H fans. I think they're going to go ahead and take care of business big time and win with some comfort tomorrow.
Oof.
Tomorrow against Gonzaga. I respect Mark Few.
Yeah.
I think he's a great coach. It's not won a national championship yet, mm-hmm. but I think he's a great coach. But I think Houston is going to beat the brakes off.
Yeah, this is another area where we disagree. I think Houston will win, but I do think we get a good game tomorrow. And look,
you think this thing is in doubt at the under four mark? Like under 4 minutes, going to the under four timeout, you think this thing's
in doubt?
It
might be a situation where Houston's in control for most of the game, but it'll be close. Like the line is 5.5. I might even take Gonzaga. I think it's right around there. I think it's a couple possession game. I don't think it's over 12.
I'm not saying it's going to be Maryland and Grand Canyon, 81-49. But thanks, Bryce Drew, for bringing your kids in there. But I think this thing is going to get rough.
And I usually don't like Gonzaga or that conference. I mean, we saw St. Mary's struggle today and just pull it out. I don't really trust that conference, but the metrics, I'm obviously a big data guy, and the metrics are really high on the Zags this year. And they defend the three-point line really well. They're one of the most experienced teams in the country, which I always prefer this time of year. They got some size to them. So it'll be interesting. And they bring a different pace than Houston. Now, a lot of times it's about which team can dictate that pace, and that's something that Houston does very well. But if Gonzaga can try to get you to play their style a little bit, they might be able to benefit there. So I think it will be a good game, a close game. I do think Houston wins, but I'm in that camp of thinking, you know, Gonzaga might give a tough test. This might be the best team that Houston faces in their region until they get to the Final Four, because I don't know if Tennessee is going to make it to the Elite Eight. So it might be this weekend.
Yeah, I don't think so. All right, T-Mill, give me your best bets. And if I were you, I'd have Houston on there. Give me your best bets, Tyler,
It's been a decent week.
2 for 3 yesterday. What you got?
Yeah. Yesterday wasn't super great, but for the week, we're right at that 60% mark. So we need to hit 3 at least of these 5 on a Friday to finish with a successful week. I got 5 of them all tonight, March Madness. First, I got Bryant +10 in the first half against Michigan State. Then I got New Mexico Marquette under in the first half, that number being 71.
Yeah.
Next, like I'm that. On the Lobos, New Mexico +4.5 tonight against Marquette. This game actually might just have gotten underway, or it's about to, so jump on it if you want. Norfolk State +28.5 against Florida. I think Florida wins, obviously.
Norfolk State said they were pissed about that line.
Yeah, 28.5, that's a lot. And then lastly, an under, Akron and Arizona under 167 tonight. Those are your 5. Let's hit 3 at least of those and finish strong.
Yeah, I like the New Mexico and Marquette first half score. That under that Norfolk State, man. Like, I can't tell if what they did pissed off Florida. Like, I can't, I don't think that thing's going to be close, but 28 is a big number. There's just a lot that could happen at the end of the game, so I probably just would have completely stayed away from it. I don't know. I'd rather just watch what Grand Canyon happened to them.
Yeah, I know. I'm already on Norfolk State, so hopefully I don't mush you. I'll be riding with you.
Let's go.
There it is. All right. Tyler, great job as always. Luke, we appreciate you stepping in for Clint.
My pleasure.
Everybody should be back on Monday. Great job, Luke. I am Ron. The show is always Houston. We love you, baby. Sponsored by Reynolds. Nope. No, it's not. Is it? Did I just make up Reynolds Wrap? Tyler is a sponsor to the NCAA tournament update.
I think you did, but I like it. It sticks.
It does. Yeah.
You get it.
Old Reynolds Wrap. Sorry about that.
That'll stick.
Well, hell, here, there's an opportunity for you right now in the next 2 hours. I just made up a tournament update and a sponsor all at once right there.
Reynolds Wrap, keeping our hot takes fresh.
Have a good weekend, good golf, good tennis, or whatever makes you happy.